Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 491, I'm welcoming to the show Dr. Kim Kimberling.
One of the examples I like to use is if usually a lot of times couples I see in counseling, there's the problem and they put the problem in the middle, and one's on one side and one's on the other, and they're fighting about how the problem should be solved. And so what I'm saying is take that problem and put it out here, and you stand together, and now it's how do we solve that problem together? How should that problem be solved? And it makes such a difference, because then you're thinking together and you're talking together and you're processing together.
Dr. Kim has been a professional counselor for over 40 years, and he's been married for well over 50 years. And so I thought he would be a great option to bring on the show, one, so you could connect with his ministry, Awesome Marriage, and their podcast, and two, so that we could get some insight from him when it comes to aligning with our partners in parenting. How oftentimes when kids are little, when they're teenagers, we cover both ends of that spectrum, we can struggle as husband and wife to work together parenting our kids. And so we're going to talk through that. One thing that happened that I get so mad at myself when this happens, and so I'm just going to tell you, after I hit stop on the recording, Dr. Kim said something really important, and so I'm going to share it here. He said that in his over 40 years of counseling, he has seen a noticeable uptick in individuals coming into counseling with diagnosed narcissism. And his view wasn't that these were wrongly diagnosed cases. He felt that in the season of COVID and even in the last few years, how things have felt more out of control, that has translated into individuals trying to find places of control and power misplaced. And anywho, if that is you, if you are struggling in a marriage with someone who is demonstrating narcissistic behavior, I wanted you to know that you aren't alone. I also want to encourage you to get help if you haven't yet. I know that is super challenging. And I also want you to know that we have covered a variety of topics related to challenging marriages, and we've linked to those in the show notes. Today's episode is focusing on when couples, there isn't an extreme issue going on, and we're needing just a reminder to align and be on the same team. All right. So with all of that, let's get right to it. Here we go. Dr. Kim, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Heather, thank you so much. I'm excited about being here, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I love to help listeners get connected with great resources. And when I look at your Awesome Marriage website, it is full of great places for them to get what they need, to do a good search and say, have they ever talked about this topic? And I know, like I told you, we're not going to be able to cover all of how to have an awesome marriage in our short time, but I know, I'm confident that I can send them to you. And with your 40 plus years of professional counseling experience and marriage of 54, how many years now? It said 54 on your website, but
54. Yeah.
Okay.
54.
Almost 55, huh?
I know. Man. We're getting there.
Man, that's amazing. And congrats on that.
Thank you.
Today we could maybe have a talk specifically about the unique challenges to a marriage in the season of parenting, because when you're in that season of parenting, it can feel like that's the rest of your life. And I know it's not true. I've been through the little years and I'm in the teen years right now. And it can feel like, is this the rest
of my life?
And I see couples and their kids have gone off and they're adults and they're now a couple for a lot of years without kids around. So we want this marriage to stand the test of time. So let's get into the little years first. So what advice or what have you seen in your practice of challenges people walk through and how do you encourage them?
Yeah, I think one of the things I see with a number of couples that I talk to is, you know, things maybe they've 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years before having kids in their marriage, and they're doing really well and everything's just going along. They think, oh, our marriage is in a great place. We're just ready to have kids. And then a child comes and things change because, and I think people can tell you about the changes that are coming, but it's not until you really experience that. It's not until you're so tired you can hardly, you know, make it to the bathroom or to brush your teeth or anything because you're so exhausted at that time. And I think what I see in so many couples is it's a time that they were so connected and they begin to not be as connected as they were before. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing is that we quit doing the things that worked before and we kind of quit doing it. And like you did say, it's a season. Every part of that is a season. I never thought diapers would end. I thought this goes on forever, you know, and it did end. And but I think it does help if you have that perspective. And I think it helps to know that each season brings a different challenge, but each season you get to leave something behind, like dirty diapers or things like that. And so I think it's figuring out what's our life going to look like together in this season? You just can't put your marriage on the back burner for a few years and expect it to just all of a sudden get back to where it was before. And so it's how do we keep our marriage going through this time? And so I think it's important to make sure you have time together every day. Just some of the basic things that are a lot easier when there's not a child around. Absolutely. Because you've got flexibility, freedom. You can make things happen like that. So you're going to have to be much more intentional about things together than you were before. So I think making sure, okay, when does it work for us? Just to have 10 or 15 minutes just to, how was your day? What happened? To catch up a little bit. If the stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, what did the baby do today that I missed out on? Just some things that you want to share together, things that connect you. I think having date nights, you don't want to put those on the back burner either. Find someone that you trust to stay with your child. Hopefully it's a good friend, someone in your church, family members, things like that. But you can be creative with your dates. It doesn't always have to be dinner out or something like that. You can do a breakfast date. You can do a lunch date. You can do anything that works in your schedule, but just something to look forward to. I saw that when we had our first and Nancy and I went about 3 or 4 weeks, maybe longer than that without a date. And I said, we got to have a date. So we found a lady that was going to sit with the kid, with the baby. And I just saw her that week, her whole countenance kind of changed because she had something to look forward to. Yeah. And so it let me know how important it is that we continue to do those things. And then I think to just realizing you're a team in this thing, that you're not enemies. Things change. I think guys, usually most couples' intimacy changes somewhat because one or both of you are tired. And so I think that's something that you don't just want to ignore. I think you want to talk about it. You can say, so in this season, what does our intimacy look like? And to me, it's not really as much about frequency as it is about the quality of that intimate time that you have together. And so, okay, when's a good time? So maybe use baby's nap time, so maybe use, you know, whatever you can, but make sure you work that intimacy into it. And I think realizing for both of you, maybe some sacrifice. I had a couple one time and they had, this was after their second and they were both exhausted, but they decided, okay, the kids are in bed at whatever time, let's say 8. We usually just veg a little bit there because we don't have any energy, but we're going to do something together. They started cooking dinner together, having late dinners 2 or 3 times a week, and it gave them something to do together. They were at home with the kids where they felt like they needed to be at that time, but it connected them, Wayne. And so I think taking the time to talk about it and be creative in how do we connect in this time, because you just can't go without connection, no matter how good you are going into having kids. You just can't coast. There's no coast times in marriage. I used to think that, okay, we're going to work all this out the first year of marriage and we'll coast for 50 years or something like that. But that didn't last very long at all because that just didn't work. Yeah. So I think you want to do that. I think the dynamics change with each child. you know, when it's two of you on one child, even though you're both tired, it, you know, you can tag team on that deal. You get two and it's kind of like one-on-one. If you look at basketball as an example, you get three and now you're playing zone defense and it's like you're outnumbered and all those things that go into to having kids. And honestly, those were really precious years as we raised kids. We had struggles. We had to figure a lot of things out. I think it's important to embrace every season. Every season with those kids, and don't just think, okay, they're going to be out of diapers, or they're going to be walking, or they're going to be in school, and I'm surviving till they get there. Enjoy each part of that, because it doesn't really, you look back on it, it really doesn't last that long. I mean, our kids are up and growing, and now we're getting ready to be great grandparents in about 6 weeks. And so kids grow up and it goes quickly. And so, even though the season when you're in it can seem like this is going on forever, it does pass. And so you don't want to miss anything. And embrace that. Embrace it together. Enjoy your kids together. Your marriage still has to be number one. Obviously, a change diaper's got to take priority, or the kids are whatever their needs. You got to feed them and stuff like that. But you need to know that your marriage is still the most important thing next to God. And your kids need to see that. Because if you're not modeling marriage for them, where in the world are they going to get their model? And if it's out in the world, that's not really the model that I want my kids to have for marriage. Yeah. So that's kind of where I see it with young kids like that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like bringing back all these memories. when we had one, the challenge was I was reading all the parenting books and he wasn't, and he would come in and just do things that I was like, no, the parenting books, they don't do that. And I would micromanage him. And that became a point of contention. And like you said, with two, it was man to man. And I just felt like we had to come to Jesus because we weren't connecting at all. We were just doing our own thing. And yeah, I think three and by four, I was seeing a counselor myself. I was so overwhelmed and anxious. But talk to us about that unique, I think what I see with moms of young kids is there is such a pressure cooker that they're under to do it right, that I think adds pressure to the marriage for them all to do it right. And what I noticed that helped us was finally finding the levity and like the humor of that season of young kids. And like, so the diaper exploded all over the kitchen, you know, like we look back, you know, that's hilarious. Or my husband was really good at, you know, he would do magic carpet rides and a blanket on the floor and go up and down the hall pulling the kids. And they have great memories of just laughter and joy. But I could sometimes squeeze the fun out of things because I'm like, oh, no, they need to go to bed and keep. I had all this mom, I don't know if it's mom guilt, but it's more just, I call it pressure to do it right and be a good mom. And I think it didn't help. So do you see that with couples that come to your office, that the mom is so intensely wanting to be right?
I think, yes. I think that's kind of one, I think it's kind of built in a woman's nature, the nurturing part of that. And you do want to give that to your kids and you want to do the best. I think the first thing that usually happens, you and your spouse came from different families. So you have different families of origin. And parenting probably wasn't done exactly the same in both places. And you don't really know that. I mean, you can talk about it before you have kids, but when you get in a situation and you're looking at your spouse and you're thinking, why in the world are they doing it that way? That is not right. That's not what my parents did. So I think you have to be flexible in that. And when things come up, say, okay, how do we want to do it? Because you're not going to parent like your parents or your spouse's parents. You got to figure out, how do we parent together? And you can bring the good things from both sides, but you got to figure out how to do it together. I think what you said about, I think a lot, I was certainly guilty of this as a dad. I loved to play with the kids. I loved when I came home that they ran and grabbed my legs. And you know, I'd always make sure that I said, okay, where's mom? I want them to see me go to mom. How's she doing? Give her a kiss. And then we'd play, but I loved playing with them. And there were times that, I can remember one time, Grant was probably two and a half, maybe something like that. And it was bedtime. And so we were in there and I was okay, let's see how high you can jump on the bed. And I'm sitting there catching him if something goes wrong. And Nancy walks in and I think she turned around and walked out is what she did because it was bedtime and I had him so wired. So what we figured out that worked for us was if you wire him up, you get to put him to bed. And so I did. Same. And yeah. Sometimes I would say, I'm not going to get him wired tonight or her wired tonight. And sometimes I thought, the heck with it. We're going to just play and do this. Yeah. But we worked together on it, and where it didn't become something, you don't want the way you parent to become a wedge between the two of you. And so It is communicating about it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I was just going to say, do you have any communication tips on like how to do that well?
Yeah, I think one of the things that Nancy and I did that I think really helped us, and we really didn't start doing it till probably a few months into having kids, and someone suggested, we would sit down every Sunday afternoon and would talk. And we would say, okay, what about, we'd talk about parenting, we'd talk about what our week looked like, we'd talk about, hey, is there anything unresolved from this past week that we don't want to bring into the new week? And it was just a time for us to kind of to air things out, to connect, clear the air on things, and then, okay, what do we need to do? So I think you've got to set aside, I mean, I think you need to communicate every day, but I think setting aside a time once a week where you've got a little more time, try not to have distractions. Maybe some of the kids are taking a nap. Maybe they're playing outside, whatever it is, where you can just talk about things. And you want to always remember you're a team. So it's not being defensive. It's not accusing your spouse. It's saying, okay, I see that we're doing these things different. How do we want to handle bedtime? What are your ideas and what are mine? And where can we come together on that so we're on the same page with that? Just continue to see yourself as a team. I know that gets hard at times, but if the more you do it, the more I think you see the value in it, the more your kids don't see you arguing about something in front of them because you're doing, one of you is doing something different than the other one is. And so just taking the time to do that and building it into your schedule, I think makes a huge difference. And so you're saying, well, maybe someone's listening and going, well, I think it's a great idea, but my husband will never go for that.
Literally thinking that.
Yeah. So I would say, just talk from your heart. Say, hey, I want us to grow our marriage through these times. I heard on this podcast that it would be good for us to sit down together. Will you try it? Can we do it just 3 weeks in a row and see if it makes a difference? And I think sometimes the guys, I mean, how can you say no to that? You know, and you get, because the guy's thinking, okay, I can do this for 3 weeks. Well, hopefully he sees the value in it after 3 weeks and begins to say, yeah, we can do this. This did help. It did make things better. Because really, anything you do that's going to eliminate conflict during the week, you're going to both enjoy that. You know, you're going to realize we went all week without fighting over the way we were doing something with the kids. Wow. That maybe the motivation for guys is your intimacy is going to be a lot better, guys, if you're not fighting during the week. And if you're, you know, working together in your team, it will make a big difference for you.
Yeah. Feeling that connection, feeling like we're not at odds. And you mentioned the family of origin. I'm sure you have lots of great resources because I'm just learning more about attachment styles and adult attachment styles and how that plays into so much and how we interact with people and our just innate responses to things that you can't give a person a tip. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we can't give a person a tip out of their impulsive attachment reactions to life.
Right.
You know? So doing that research and learning about yourself, I think is really
the more
helpful.
You learn about yourself, you know, the best marriages obviously are two healthy people. And so I think it's responsibility of each one of you to get as healthy as you can and the other spouse to support you in that and to pray for you. You know, we didn't really talk about prayer. Prayer is such an important part of everything we're talking about right now. Nancy, I've told the story a lot of times. I'll tell it briefly, but Nancy was mentored by a lady before we got married that said, the most important thing is for you and your husband to pray together. So on our wedding night, she brought that up. We prayed. I would never brought that up on a wedding night. I was, you know, that's not where I was.
Was on your head.
No, it went on my agenda. But we've probably prayed, honestly, Heather, 99% of the nights of our marriage. That has made the biggest difference. So when it's, you're in that season and you're struggling, just go to the Lord in prayer. It unites you. It makes you aware that God is in the middle of this with you. and that he has answers that you don't. I can remember times when we'd be trying to figure out something. Maybe it was curfews with kids as they were getting a little older, things like that. And we'd be going back and forth. And one of us would say, let's pray about it. We'd pray. And like literally within 5 minutes, we had an answer that we agreed on. I mean, God does show up. And it's to me, a lot of those things times are just really miraculous when they happen like that. But prayer is such an important part of every step you take. And the more you pray together, the better parent you're going to be, the better spouse you're going to be.
Well, I think we have found that to be true. And it's interesting. Like I think back on those little years when we had our come to Jesus moment by the second kid, we were like, okay, kids are in bed. We're going to meet on the couch. And then as they got older, we started doing Saturday morning walks, which you said Sunday. It's like, these don't have to be exactly the times that you're saying, but just making the time. And then prayer, like ours wasn't at night. Ours was hugging in the kitchen before, you know, kids went off to school and a few minutes of prayer. And I just think these little habits aren't little. Like they're the things. And I'm hearing you and I'm like, oh yeah, that was helpful that we created that habit and it sustained us. And prayer is real. It's not a last resort.
It is so real. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the morning prayer because there isn't a right or wrong time about it. And it doesn't have, don't have to be a pastor. I mean, if all you do
is say,
God,
help. You don't have to do.
No, you could just, God, help us with our marriage. Help us. We don't know what to do with this child right now. Help us to be good parents. Give us strength because we are exhausted. Just something simple. You can pray silently. You can pray out loud. You can both agree we're both going to pray the same thing and pray silently. Whatever you can, but go into the Lord in prayer consistently and making that, like you said, Heather, a habit will make a difference. It just does because God wants us to do that.
And if I know this, I'm going to get this message, but I know there are a lot of spouses who aren't of equal faith, and that's a real hard thing to hear. Because they may not have a spouse who's willing to pray with them. Do you have any comfort or encouragement for that person?
I would say you pray. And you pray for yourself, pray for your spouse. You ask God to help you look at your spouse through God's eyes because God loves that spouse, even though he may not be pursuing God at that point in his life or pursuing something else. But don't do everything that you can to be who God wants you to be as a wife or a husband. And then really, at the end of the day, the obedience goes back to God. God, with your help today, I think I was a pretty good wife. I think it's a pretty good husband. I think we parented pretty well together. And so it makes it difficult. I get that. But I think if you focus on yourself and your relationship with God, that makes a difference for you.
Yeah. Don't allow that to keep you from your faith journey. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think having others who can help encourage you in that, because it can get discouraging. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Having good friends or people that are going to support you and be praying for you and loving on you during those hard times is really important.
So you kind of mentioned the curfew. So let's move into the teen middle school. Okay. I have four boys. I don't know if I told you that. So there's just a lot going on in our house. And
a lot of testosterone, right?
A lot. And there's not been a lot of positive feedback. Thankfully, they're spread out just enough that when the older three have not been so lovely to be around, the younger one was still adorable and cuddly. And now that he's moving into the kind of prickly stage, the older one's being really kind and grateful for who we were as parents. So
yes.
We always have one who's like, reminding us we're not such bad people, but it can make you turn on each other when it's not like, oh, they have a dirty diaper or, oh, we're tired. It's, we want to keep them safe because they could make choices that could disrupt the rest of their life and our lives. Like we don't want to get sued. We don't want anyone in prison. Like,
right.
So it's bigger stakes. And I just see it with other friends who have kids this age, that there's just a lot of marriage conflict that wasn't there the last 10 years.
Yeah. And I think part of it is the culture we live in. You know, we didn't grow up with cell phones like our kids did. We didn't grow up with social media like our kids did. So that's for years, the problems that parents would come in with counseling with their teenagers, pretty similar. I mean, a little bit of difference, but it's changed so much in the last 10, 15 years because of social media, because of technology. And so I think that's why it's so important for a couple to come together in this and to parent together, and to, and I think if you put those principles in place when the kids are little, you just keep carrying those through. You just adjust to the different situations that you have. And if you're listening now and you haven't done that, and your kids are teens, it's never too late. But I think one of the things that helped us, we sat down, I don't know, probably maybe when our son was becoming a teenager, and kind of what are our goals for the next few years for our kids in home? What do we want them to experience before they leave home and go to college? And so we kind of made a list of things. Faith was one of the things that was important to them. We wanted to expose them to different things. We wanted to help them make sure they knew how to make decisions. We wanted to give them some freedom, because if we wanted, if they fall, we wanted to fall while they were still home. So we were there to kind of help them and move forward. So we did a number of things like that. One of the things that I love, and I heard it from Dave Ramsey, and this is the deal, that example, he, and it made so much sense. He said when they became teens, he showed them a rope and he said, you know, we're going to give you opportunity. If you're responsible, you get a little more rope and you're going to get to do something else. If you don't, we're going to pull back a little bit. We're going to work with you on that and help you work through that. And the cool thing was, at their high school graduation dinner, he had handed them the rope. And it was just this beautiful picture of, and I think that's what it is. It's kind of a give and take, and knowing each child's going to be different. If you go through with the first child and it works perfect, don't expect it to work that way with the second child. It's just not going to. But yeah. I think as a couple, you want to keep doing the basic things that we talked about earlier, spending time together every day, having a time together, a longer time together each week, having date nights. I think we saw the value in us getting away with a trip at least once a year without the kids during that time. It gave us a chance to just kind of reconnect on a little different level without distractions, and to and just a real boost, I think, to our marriage. And it gave us something to look forward to each year. And you can go to bed and breakfast right outside your city. You don't have to spend a lot of money and go around the world or whatever, just doing that for a period of time. I think all of those things, and I think too with kids, knowing it's okay to say no. You're going to get asked to do a lot of things because their friends are going to be doing a lot of things. And you've got to use your discernment and wisdom there. And it is okay to say no.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
What do you do if one spouse says no and then the other one comes in and says yes? Because you hadn't maybe discussed that scenario and the kids are like,
sure,
doing it on their own. And then you find out later, well, mom said yes or dad said yes. And you're like, what? Now I look like the jerk because I said no.
Yeah, absolutely. And exactly. Whichever one it falls on.
Whichever one. Yeah. Uh-huh. You want to be that's the thing. The teen years, you want to be cool. You want them to think you're cool.
You kind of don't
want to be seen as this fuddy-duddy. And yet also you have to keep the boundaries. And so if the one parent looks now like the cool parent because they said yes, anyway, it's tricky.
And I think one of the things that helped us, and we learned this in the process, is that we never said yes without talking to each other. So if one of the kids would come to us and say, hey, they're having this party Friday night, and you know, there's going to be 4,000 parents there. You know, it's just going to be great. And so our answer was, man, that sounds like fun. I'm going to talk to mom, or I want to talk to dad. That helped us a lot, because then we came back with an answer where both, and kids are creative. Remember, they really want to get their way. I mean, so you've got to stay a little bit ahead of on that, because they may start asking you in a different way and kind of sneak up on you. But I think that deal is saying, hey, mom and I need to talk about this. And they see you as united. Because if one parent becomes the fun parent, one the not fun parent, well, I don't want to be in that position. And I don't want to put Nancy in that position. And so the big things like that, we really tried to make sure that we talked about it together. Kids didn't always like it because they knew the things they could say to me to make me say yes. And they knew the things they could say to Nancy to make her say yes. They were very smart in that way. But it was interesting. I think my son was probably 26 or 27. they were dead, just had their first child. And he said, "Hey, Dad, I've been meaning to tell you this, but all those times you said no, thank you." And I thought, oh, wow, that was so cool. And he probably didn't remember that he said that, but it meant so much to me. And just know that. And what you were saying about they come back around, I think that's true too. They do appreciate what you're doing. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make some mistakes. But as long as you're working together as parents, you're praying together, you're doing, if you can, doing the things that as a team, you can go through any of these things together.
Well, I think if there is a difference on the yes, no, tell me what you think about this. It seems like when I've heard people talking about it, it seems like there's kind of different values at play. So even if you're the hard no, we had this situation even last weekend where I was like, yeah, I think it's a no. And I explained to my husband, he was like, no, I think it's okay. And I explained to him my reasoning. He's like, oh yeah, you're probably right. But it's kind of even recognizing yourself. Am I saying no out of a reaction, a fear-based reaction? Is there a logical reason for my no? Or is this just like an impulse? I'm terrified, because there have been times I'm just scared. And my husband saying like, I think it's fine, is actually helpful to me, because I can be like, all right, you're right. I'm probably being a little too controlling. You know, do we want to give them the freedom while they're under our house in certain places? Anyway, I think being a little self-aware in that process and willing and humble to say, oh, maybe you're right, I think is part of that. Being connected with your spouse and recognizing you're not the enemy makes you a little more tender to flex on your answer.
I think it's being really listening to each other in that, and then valuing the other person's opinion. There's times that probably Nancy would say yes, and I'd think no, or vice versa. But after we talked about it, I thought, okay, I'm still not 100% comfortable, but I trust you as a mom, because I know that you love them as much as I do, and I know you want what's best for them, and I know you're not going to send them out into some storm. And so I think it goes back to building that relationship with your spouse, where you can sit down and talk about that. And I think too, don't put your spouse in a box. Don't label your spouse as, they're not going to say no. They're afraid something's going to happen to them. So our kids they're not going to get to drive the car past the driveway because you're afraid something's going to happen to them. You know, don't put them in a box. Just continue to talk about that together. And it does take work. Everything we're talking about takes work, but I promise you it is worth it. And it may be awkward at first because you may be doing some things you've never done before. But the more you do it, I think you see the value in it, and the more comfortable you'll become with it. So just talk to your spouse and say, hey, we need to connect better on this. And get both of your input. How do we do this?
Yeah.
Because those 6 or 7 years as teens goes really fast, and all of a sudden they're out the door. And so you don't want to miss that either.
Well, I like what you said about figuring out what do you want them to leave having experience, that becomes then your filter. So is this decision helping us towards that value or that intention, or is it not helping us towards that value intention?
Absolutely. If that's your kind of, and then you've got your goal out here and you've got this highway to get there, you know, is this a detour? Is this an exit, or is this keep us on the path? And you may take some detours. You just don't want to take those exits, you know, that just, you never get back on the path again. But and I think once you have that, then it does help when this comes up. Okay, does that fit in with what our goal is for our kids? Mm. Yeah, it does. Or no, that doesn't at all. And so it's easy to toss that.
Yeah. Okay, so you've written a couple books, and of course you have a podcast, y'all. You can go check out the Awesome Marriage Podcast. But one of your books, Dr. Kim, like piqued my interest because it says 7 secrets to an awesome marriage. And there's nothing like a good secret. I need to know. If you could just drop a couple of those in here before we have to go, that would be fantastic.
Well, the whole premise of the book was just kind of, there are some things that really make a marriage different. And the first secret is stop. In other words, quit doing the things that don't work over and over again, which we have such a tendency to do. I mean, I know if I do this one more time, Nancy will finally get it. Well, no, it's not going to change that. Stop that. And then faith is important to us. And so it was start putting God and making him a part of your marriage. The connect part of it, that secret, is really just learning that listening is such an important thing. And I think it's something in our culture we don't do very well. And if you're going to learn to listen to anybody, learn to listen to your spouse and really listen where you understand what they're saying and you can be empathetic with them. And so that's an important part of it, how to do that. Then we talk about engage, which is how to fight right. You know, most of us don't know how to fight right and we avoid conflict, and yet you're going to have conflict. And so how do you do that in a healthy way? That's what that's about. Balance is something that we've kind of alluded to here, is how do you balance everything in this world with all the obligations you have, with raising kids, with jobs, with all the things that go into it? How do you balance it so that your marriage wins through every season of life? And the mingle came from the Hebrew word dod, which is a mingling of souls. And that's the sexual part, but the emotional, physical, all those things that mingle together that make the intimacy so much better. And then the last one is fight, which we've kind of talked about now, fighting together, learning to fight together. One of the examples I like to use is if usually a lot of times couples I see in counseling, there's the problem and they put the problem in the middle, and one's on one side and one's on the other, and they're fighting about how the problem should be solved. And so what I'm saying is take that problem and put it out here and you stand together. And now it's, how do we solve that problem together? How should that problem be solved? And it makes such a difference, because then you're thinking together and you're talking together and you're processing together, and you're not saying each other, like, if the problem's between you, well, that's stupid, or that, why would you think that? You're not doing those kind of things. You're working together. So that's kind of a brief overview of the seven secrets. It's just how to get a healthier marriage, because that's what we all want. You don't stand at the altar thinking, well, it gives us a couple of years and then we'll get a divorce if it doesn't work or something like that. No, you want this to last a lifetime. That's why you married that person. But it just takes work to get there.
That's good. That's really good. It feels like with this show, sometimes I'm telling parents about discipline and I'm talking about you need to have friendships and you need to have your own interests. And now you've got to focus on your marriage. And I think your balance thing, that's so true. It's like, it's hard when everything feels like a priority. Kids feel like a priority. The marriage feels like a priority. The work feels like everything is like holding equal value sometimes. And it can't. You can't do all the things. And so I've even, you know, I've only been doing this 19 years of parenting while married, but definitely have found when the kids become prioritized over the marriage, things don't go well.
Yeah. Somebody feels left out and you're not connecting.
Yeah. It doesn't even honestly help the kids thrive more when they get prioritized over our marriage. When we have reversed that in those seasons, it's interesting how it trickles down and the family unit does feel stronger. So there is, if you're listening, you're like, man, I just can't do all the things. You're telling me I need to take this time to be with my spouse. And I just challenge you to maybe look at your schedule and pray, like we just said, and say, God, show me where in our calendar could we make this a priority if you haven't been.
Yeah. And I think one thing that helped me, and I think our pastor said it a number of years ago, and it really hit me. He said, you're not usually choosing between two bad things. You're not like, you know, do I go grocery shopping with my wife because she wants me to, or I go to the bar and get drunk? Well, you know, that's pretty easy, no brainer there. But it's between choosing what's best over what's good. And sometimes it just helps me in some seasons just to write everything down that I'm doing. And then the things that are the best things, to circle those. And then the good things that are left, if I have time for them, fine. But if I don't, I'm focusing on the best things. And I think that really helped me a lot, because there's things you've just got to let go of. And sometimes we don't. And the other thing, I think, to elaborate a little bit on what you said about not making your marriage a priority and putting the kids ahead. One, you're not modeling for them. And two, there's needs that are intended by God to be met in marriage. And if they're not met, then we get vulnerable to have melt elsewhere. And I'm not saying it's always an affair or something like that, but it may be the husband, well, okay, I'm just going to play golf 5 days a week. And so he's not present at all. Or maybe she's saying, well, I'm going to play bunco three nights a week, or I'm going to be with my girlfriends, this kind of stuff. And so once you do some things like that, you're leading separate lives. And that's so dangerous for a marriage, because that's the couples, I think, that once the kids leave, it's like, I didn't even know who you are. Why am I going to stay with you? You've got to continue to nurture your marriage during those times, because from experience, you're getting fairly close to that. Empty nest is wonderful. It's sure there's that sadness when the last one leaves, but wow, when you realize I don't have to be home to cook dinner, I don't have to be home to help with homework, don't have to do any of those things. We can go to a movie on Tuesday night if we want to. You know, there's just a freedom that comes back that you had before you had kids. And so I think that's a season to look forward to also. And if you nurture your marriage during the time of raising kids, you're going to really embrace and love that season. And if you don't, you're going to struggle in that season. That doesn't mean you can't get back on top of it, but it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, y'all definitely go check out Awesome Marriage. We'll link to it in the show notes. We appreciate you, Dr. Kim, and your wisdom and your just helping remind us of what's true. And Dr. Kim and I, we prayed over all your marriages before we started. So y'all, we are fighting for you and for your unit that you started, your family started with your marriage. So thank you, Dr. Kim. So much.
Thank you so much. This is so much fun. Thank you for what you do and the people that you serve. And just thank you for having me. Appreciate it a lot.
Honored. I hope if anything, this was maybe just a gentle nudge. Sometimes we get in habits of interacting, and that this could remind you that maybe you've forgotten you're on the same team, and there's a small habit you could start today to maybe move towards working together, a small way you can move towards your spouse. And I'm going to pray for us in this. I'm also going to pray for those who are really struggling. Marriage is really hard right now, because I am very aware that that is a lot of marriages right now. And so I want you to know that you're seen in that. So Lord, I know that there's beauty and joy and goodness that you desire in our marriages and our families. And I pray, Lord, that anything that is coming against our families, any division or distraction or discouragement, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, it would be disrupted right now. I pray for us to each do our own personal work to figure out why we are struggling in a certain parenting situation, whether it's a fear we have, whether it's a control that we're feeling we need, or if it really is conviction that's coming from you, Lord, that we could align with one another, that we could, like my friend Nancy says, turn our grumblings and our complaints into requests, that we could align and come together to solve a problem, that we don't see the spouse as the problem, but we can partner together. We can make time this week to take that one small step. I also pray for marriages that are really struggling right now, whether there are addictions, abuse, there is narcissism, or some other mental health issue that is adding strain and stress. Maybe it is job loss. Maybe it is a move, or even just life circumstances, a real hard issue with a child that is causing division in the marriage. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to come in and provide just a little glimmer of hope, for sure, for help from anyone around them or from professionals, those who are willing to help and guide, and that you would provide the wisdom they need. And as always, Lord, we can turn to you in any of this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks, y'all, for joining Dr. Kim and I today. I will see you back here next week. I kind of forget who is going to be on. Let me just look real quick while I've got you. Oh, it's a good one. Kendra Adachi is joining me again, the lazy genius. You are not going to want to miss that. Make sure you're subscribed to Don't Mom Alone. Thank you, as always, for sharing the show with your friends and for following along with me and being such an encouragement. I'll meet you back here next week. Adios. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news, that you're not alone, because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.